Hi, this is Josh from Northern New Jersey. I just wanted to say that the IVMV podcast is the World Series champions of podcasts. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. This is our 458th episode, and on this episode, we will talk about the new collective bargaining agreement, which ensures that we have baseball beyond 2016, and we're also going to look at the roster moves that the Cubs have made in the last week, including signing new Cubs outfielder John Jay. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
Before we get into those topics, we've got two other things to briefly discuss. I'll be in San Diego this week, and I'm getting together with some listeners out there on Thursday night. So if you're in the San Diego area or even Los Angeles or Orange County and you want to hang out in San Diego on Thursday night, just shoot me an email. It's Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at IVMV.com. On the last episode, I mentioned that we are co-hosting an event at G-Man Tavern just north of Wrigley on Clark. The weekend of Cubs convention, and details are starting to fall into place, some of them at least. So this is what we know. It will be some sort of a fundraiser. We're thinking about having it benefit youth baseball, and so we're trying to find a league or some sort of organization that could use the help. We also know that we will most likely record a live episode of our podcast at the event, and we know that we will show Game 7 of the World Series. And so by watching Game 7, that gives us plenty of time to hang out and relive the ups and downs of that game. Katie Day will be performing, and so will Danny Rocket. So that's what we know so far. There's some other stuff in the works, but we just can't. It's not set in stone yet. And so that's what we know. One thing that we do not know is a name. We can't come up with a name for this thing. So... I need to like create a Facebook event and all that kind of stuff for it. But like Danny and I cannot come up with,
I heard you and Danny had some pretty snappy ideas for names.
Yeah. I was on, if you're interested at all, what Andy's referring to is that, Danny had me on the Sun Ranto show and, just for kind of a, you know, not entirely baseball related interview. He just wants to, and he wants you guys to come on, but I had quite a bit of fun with it. And, you can learn some new things about me if you listen to that episode. I'm looking at our text. Okay. So what do you guys think? We have an unconventional Cubs convention gathering.
The economy of words is just startling.
We also thought about just the unconventional, like that. That's, you know, just
or the unconvention,
right? The unconvention. It could be that. He also had the idea of the lanyardless luau. So
pretty good. That's a strong contender,
right? Yeah, I don't know. We're struggling with it. He came up with the left out blowout. So it's like the people that can't get into Cubs convention can do this. The passless party. I don't know. We're struggling. I actually kind of
got some winners in there.
I kind of like the unconventional.
Yeah. Put it to a Twitter poll.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea. Cause I need to do this. I leave town in like a little bit over 24 hours and I need to get this thing, you know, at least the invite thing set up before I leave town. But it's going to be fun, though. I mean, just really, you know, for those of you that didn't get Cubs convention tickets and you just want to hang out, you know, if you're in the Chicago area or if you just want to, you know, if you plan on traveling in, assuming you would be able to get tickets and you weren't able to, we're still going to have a big party and it's going to be a lot of fun. Lots of time just to hang out. That's what I'm looking forward to. I like just opportunities to hang out where, you know, it's cool. Like Kurt, you and I, we went to G-Man before game one of the NLCS and it was fun, but like you're just watching the clock, you know, like there's a game that's going to start soon and you got to get over there and there's just all that. And like, I'm looking forward to just having hours just to hang out and talk and listen to other people tell their World Series stories and everything. So it's going to be fun.
So, we have a panel discussion where for people who are there can step up to a mic and ask a question.
Somebody can be crazy hat lady.
Just to give you the full Cubs convention experience, we're going to have an awkward panel and awkward fan questions. No, but there's, you know, we're probably going to do like silent auctions and things like that to help raise money. We kind of kicked around the idea of doing a Cubs related white elephant gift exchange. I thought that would actually be kind of fun. Like whatever just goofy Cubs memorabilia you have that you want to get rid of. And I have a lot of that falls into that category.
Yeah, I mean,
I've got a couple.
I mean, I've got that Jim Hendry signed baseball, Coy Hill signed baseball. I've got some weird stuff.
I've got a Marlin Byrd. So
yeah, that's true. Except I don't know where mine came from. I don't know. I feel like maybe, you know, Jeremy has been on the podcast. Like he gave me some stuff, and I don't know. I think the Coy Hill baseball came from him. But
the upside down Starlin Castro t-shirt could make an appearance. Yes.
Well, I also have Brett Jackson and Josh Vitter's signatures autographs on Ivy Envy postcards.
I have an autograph on an Ivy Envy postcard and I don't know who it is.
Oh yeah. Well, you can compare it to the ones
Chris
that
Bryant.
I have. No, it was before him. Yeah, so I don't know. I was thinking something like that might be kind of fun too. Just come hang out with us and look for details on it. There will not be. It's like kind of like everything. I feel like this event will be everything that's good about Cubs Convention. You know, so like just hanging out with people, meeting, you know, people you interact with on social media and Twitter and everything.
No lines,
right? No autograph lines. Not the huge crowd. So yeah, and if you're at Cubs Convention, I think this will be during like the bingo, which is actually kind of hard to get into anyway. So we're just a quick, you know, Uber ride up to Wrigleyville. So come up there, get your picture taken in front of the marquee, declaring that the Cubs are World Series champions, and walk over to the G-Man. So,
and there probably won't be any Harry Carey impressions.
No, I don't think so. All right, so let's jump into real talk here. We know that there will be baseball next year and beyond, at least for another, 5 years?
You know what? I was kind of thinking it might be cool to have baseball next year.
I was kind of thinking it would be neat to have the Cubs be the last World Series champions in baseball history.
One and done.
There's something appealing that. About that.
So they would lock out, but they would just quit forever.
right.
We're done. Forget about it.
In 40 years, you're huddled around a campfire, like a post-apocalyptic setting, fingerless hobo gloves. You're eating out of a can of Fancy Feast. Remember, the one thing I cling to that keeps me going is the last World Series champions ever.
What was the World Series, Grandpa?
Eat your Fancy Feast, I'll tell you.
Crack open another can. It's Thanksgiving.
It's the Mariners catch this time.
Okay, Kurt, talk about the CBA.
Oh, thanks, Corey. So welcome to the off season. It's time to talk about really exciting stuff like collective bargaining agreements. So they announced on Thursday there won't be a lockout. So 5-year agreement, which brings that will end with 27 years of baseball without interruption, which is pretty good. Some of the key points to come from it. They were really negotiating on the international.
Wait, what did you just say? What did you say about 27 years?
27 years of baseball without without like a lockout or a strike.
Oh, okay.
After at the end of it, not now. But
oh, okay. All right.
When this one is over, there will.
I'm not good at math, so I was trying. I was trying to. Okay,
that just makes you feel old because last one was 94.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was like. That can't be right. And then I was like,
27,
oh man,
no.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
One of the key points they were negotiating. People talked about it before. Was the international draft? There will not be an international player draft. that's relatively unchanged. Some of the numbers around it have changed, but I'm not going to bore you with too much of that. Thankfully, the World Series will now be decided by the team with the best record or home field advantage in the World Series. That didn't hurt the Cubs this year, obviously, but it, you know,
if anything, it could help them.
Yeah. The 15-day DL is now the 10-day DL.
Hold on, I have a question about that. So, okay. And I, honestly, I haven't had time to read too many articles kind of breaking everything down. So is it just there's a 10-day and then the 60-day?
Yeah, I believe that. I don't know this for sure, but I believe the others are unchanged.
Okay, so there's no like 10-day, 15-day, and...
No, the 15 days gone and it's replaced with the 10, as far as I understand. There's a bunch of changes to luxury tax stuff. Again, super boring. Who cares? I mean, it matters, but it doesn't. The rosters will not go to 26. There was some speculation about that. They'll stay at 25 and then expand in September as they always have. So really no changes there. So another change is that you will not lose a first round pick for signing a free agent with a qualifying offer. That will be some other form of compensation, but it will not be your first round pick. Some player stuff, smokeless tobacco is now banned for new players, but the old guys can still use it, just not the new guys. Drug testing will increase, and starting in 2018, the season will be 5 days longer, so that'll give teams more days off to get all their games in.
Because that's, I feel like that's what was missing. Was, you know, that's what needed to be accomplished in this CBA was to make
lengthen the season.
Yeah, make the season even longer.
We want the Cubs to be playing at Thanksgiving. So no, but I mean, I think it starts 5 days earlier though, too, right?
I don't know that for sure. I just
pretty sure. Okay, so from what I know, the length is added at the beginning, not the end.
Yeah. Okay.
Otherwise, you know, yeah, we're looking at Christmas World Series interfering with Christmas. And then this is kind of an interesting one, but they'll be playing a lot more international games. More broadly, they'll be playing in Latin America, Asia, and London. And so, you know, that's, you know, for obvious reasons, trying to grow the game internationally. So you'll see more of those. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the highlights. There is a lot more, and you can see the full breakdown. They released the whole document, so... If you're really interested in some off-season reading, you can go check out the full thing. But
yeah, and I really think it's not going to be until, you know, in the next year or so when these situations kind of start coming up where there are slight changes. You know, that's when I think it'll kind of stick with us a little bit more. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like once you actually see it in action, then it's like, oh, that's what that means, or that's how this will impact this. And
for the most part, it looks like the day-to-day stuff is going to be unchanged. The DL stuff, we'll see. The rest of it seems like it'll just be more of the same. I have read, though, that the predictions are that the next negotiation will be rough.
Yeah, that's
right. Because they kicked the can down the road on a few items, and there's going to be a lot more money involved. They're expecting... to increase, and the whole TV deal and streaming and all that kind of stuff is going to come to a head at some point, and it's probably going to be the next one when things get ugly.
So this is a 5-year one, right? Yeah. So
yep.
So the Cubs can, you know, win the next 5 World Series, and they could still be the last team to win the World Series
if they win the next 5 and 6 in a row. That I say everyone just quits.
Yeah. I think we're just going to need to see this stuff in action, and really I think for the average baseball fan it doesn't change anything. It's still baseball, and there's no robo umpires. You know, nothing big like that. So let's talk about the Cubs. They have added a few players this week. Andy, do you want to go over those guys?
I'd love to. So they got John Jay, and I mean the Federalist. I saw on Baseball Reference's nickname is the Federalist, or at least he's been referred to that during his time in St. Louis. So I guess I would assume after one of the authors of the Federalist Papers. But anyway, John Jay is a center fielder who most Cubs fans will remember from his stint with the Cardinals. And he was, I remember him being the Cardinals fans being pretty excited about him and then really cooling on him. I mean, they never turn on their players, but he is a career 287, 352, 384 guy. And ostensibly his signing sets up a platoon in center field with Almora. And interestingly though, he has better splits against left-handers than he does righties. But I mean, it's not like his numbers are terrible regardless. So, it's interesting because he, has already talked about mentoring Almora. It's weird to think of him as a veteran, but yeah, he should be a good on the team to help Almora come along as a professional, and he's a solid defender. It's nothing that's going to set the world on fire. He doesn't hit for power, really, anything like that, but just a solid player who can play defense that is platoonable. And it's just a one-year deal for $8 million. So it just kind of buys the Cubs some time until they really see what Almora can do at the big league level, and whether or not, you know, they need to sign somebody else at some point. And all this, of course, is barring like some unforeseen crazy return of Fowler, which I'm not that comfortable saying there's no way that's ever going to happen now. But, you know, given what happened last season with him just showing up at spring training all of a sudden.
Yeah, but I think last year, I mean, those were like different circumstances. I just like.
No, they were not different.
I just don't see it happening at all.
I don't either. But
and I don't know like why. I mean, just kind of like I kind of glanced around for some internet muscle flexes today, and I was surprised. You know, I looked at the John Jay signing that, you know, the Cubs posted on Instagram, and I was just surprised at how many people there were like, you know, well, you know, surprised that this meant maybe Dexter Fowler wasn't coming back, or like, oh no, he's probably still coming back. And it's like, I'm surprised that, I mean, I think in a way, like you kind of see this group and you think, no, they want to be together. Well, yeah, of course they do. But Dexter Fowler also would like to get paid the most that he can to set up his right. himself and his family for decades, you know?
Right. Right. You know, 4-year deal. And, you know, it might maybe the difference of $20 million. I think you play with a different team to take your $20 million over 4 years plus, instead of playing with your buddies. I would.
Well, and then all that speculation is fueled by like Cubs.com articles where, you know, they write stuff like, Cubs not closing door on Fowler return. You know, right. It's like a little quotation from Hoyer.
Well, it just doesn't make sense.
So this is,
it doesn't really, I don't think it makes sense on either side, really.
No,
you doesn't. Know, I mean, it doesn't really make sense from the Cubs side, unless you think that Almora is most likely not going to be able to be your long-term guy. Then.
But like, I mean, wouldn't you definitely entertain that thought though?
That maybe he's not the long-term
yeah.
guy?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, but given, I mean, then you have Ian Happ. I mean, like,
sure.
I just kind of feel like there's options there. And even if, like, I just feel like they could, Fowler, I think they could get what they need. Okay, let me think how I want to word this. Like, what they might need out of center field is less than what maybe some other teams need out of center field. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of offensive firepower on this team, and that's where I think that Almora may fit in, just because what he can do defensively, you know, he doesn't have a lot expected of him offensively.
Yeah, that's true. But I think the need for a leadoff hitter also,
right?
I don't know, riles people up about it too. But
yeah, well,
but like you said, I don't expect him to be back. It's just, I just, knowing what we know about him, he never walking,
right.
And just some of his offensive issues, I can see why people still are, you know, fantasizing about Fowler coming back or you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think that like if there's an unconventional manager that can manage an unconventional team that maybe doesn't have a prototypical leadoff hitter, I think that's this team. And like I said on the last episode, I think I could maybe try to make the argument that Kyle Schwarber should bat leadoff, and I would love to see it. And I just think that that's not really, you know, having a prototypical leadoff guy isn't a reason to make a move that like that's, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I don't think he's coming back, and I don't really even like entertain that thought. Like, I don't even really think it's like an option. And I think that Fowler demands a lot more in this free agent class than he did last year's. And I think especially with what he did this year, he's raised, you know, he's increased his value. And I think, you know, I honestly think he's going to St. Louis, but I think...
Fudge, I hope not. Boy, yeah, thanks for talking a little bit there, because I just had to kill a bug on my wall. you're done, son. And speaking of that, Dunsing, the Cubs signed, Brian Dunsing to a one-year deal worth $2 million. He's a 33-year-old lefty from 2009 to 2015 and was a starter for a lot of that time. He started 61 games during that stretch. And he is coming off an elbow injury in 2016. So he only appeared in 14 games with the Orioles and had a 4.05 ERA during that time. Lefties, he's done well against lefties in his career. And Dunsing is he's a loogie. And so lefties have a 236, 286, 328 line against him for his career. And so his line isn't nearly as good against right-handed batters. And so I think that's what he is. He's just like a one and done matchup guy thing. And then so he and Zastrzyzny now are the only lefties on the 40-man roster after the departure of our buddy Herbsion.
Yeah, you're kind of cutting in and out there, Andy, but I think we get the gist of what you're saying. I think it seemed like there for a few minutes, like every time you were about to say something, like when you said the stats, it cut out. Like it cut out all the important stuff. But but I think it came through okay.
I said a lot of important stuff, though.
So that kind of leads me to the other moves that the Cubs made. Although I do want to go back to I didn't know how to pronounce his name, and I think that Dunsing is about the worst way you could pronounce his name.
Like Dunsing would be better. Dwensing would be better.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Because like it sounds like a verb, the verb form of like it's like of like the noun dunce. Like he's gonna go dunsing.
He's gonna go to the Cubs. He's gonna go to the Cubs.com message board and just go dunsing over there.
Dunsing we will go. I ho the Dario.
All right. Well, yeah. So there were other roster moves. The Cubs cleared some space off their 40-man roster after the John Jay move. They non-tendered Gerardo Concepcion, Christian Villanueva, Connor Mulley, and Zach Roscoff. And all of these players have now elected free agency, and the Cubs could sign them to minor league deals, but at this point, you know, each of these players can also entertain offers from other teams. So I'll quickly go through these guys and their situations. Concepcion was, most importantly, I guess he's Andy's favorite Instagram account.
Oh, yeah, for sure. His swag was lit.
So he was up with the Cubs for three games this season and in his career. We talked about him a few weeks ago here on the podcast. He was signed in March of 2012 by the Cubs out of Cuba. And I watched him when he first was called up to low A. His control looked hideous when I saw him. I guess that's how I would describe it. And I honestly didn't pay a lot of attention to him. Even when we were focusing on the minors a lot, because he just really never stood out. I feel like he was injured for some chunks of time. And I guess, you know, it's not really fair to lump all minor league stats, you know, into like one because of the different levels and everything. But throughout his career in the minors, he has a 5.45 ERA, And yeah, I just, you know, like I said, he elected free agency, and I really see no reason for the Cubs to bring him back. I think he just didn't really pan out the way that he was originally thought he would when he was signed. And Connor Mully, if he doesn't sound familiar to you, he's a guy that the Cubs claimed off waivers from the Yankees during the World Series, and he had missed the final 3 months of the season with nerve damage. And so this seemed a little bit odd to me, but I read that it sounds like either the Cubs didn't like what they saw in medical reports, or they just decided to move on. So maybe it was one of those, hey, let's grab this guy and, you know, see if he's something we could use. And then they just decided maybe they'd be better off to do something else. Or as far as his, you know, recovery from nerve damage, maybe they've discovered that you know, it just it's not going to work. Sticking with pitching, I mentioned Zach Roscup, and he also came up a few episodes ago as an option for a lefty bullpen arm for the Cubs this year. Roscup was injured early on in the season. I think it was like May, and he missed the rest of the season. It was a shoulder injury. But he had 61 appearances for the Cubs between 2013, 2014, and 2015. And I guess when I was kind of thinking about this, I thought, you know what, there's probably just a lot of Roscup type arms out there, and the Cubs will explore their options. I don't think the loss of Zach Roscup is huge, but a loss that could potentially be huge would be Christian Villanueva. And this kind of like confuses me a little bit. Maybe you guys have some insight. And honestly, I just did not have. I did not read up on it a ton, you know, there's typically not a lot written, you know, when the Cubs or when a baseball team just kind of non-tenders a minor leaguer. But if you'll remember, the Cubs were in kind of a tough decision or a tough situation in spring training of 2016 with Villanueva. He was out of options, and it looked like the Cubs would probably be shopping him and showcase him in spring training. And then he broke his fibula and he was out for the entire season. So they were able to hold on to him, but there's really no path to the Cubs roster for him. He's a good player, and I think that he could start, you know, at third base for some teams in baseball, but the Cubs already have a third baseman. I think they're pretty sold on him. I think he's proven himself. And then, you know, right there with him is Candelario. And so the Cubs do have kind of a backup option in case of injury, or just, you know, if they have somebody else that they want up there or somebody that they can move. But so Villanueva came over to the Cubs in the Dempster trade. He came over with Kyle Hendricks. And really up until when Bryant was drafted, it seemed like Villanueva would be the starting third baseman for the Cubs. And so I think, I would expect some team out there to give him a minor league deal that includes a spring training invite. And I guess what was a little bit confusing to me about it was other than freeing up a roster spot, which I believe right now they sit at 35 on the 40 man. I thought, you know, he does hold value. And so I was kind of surprised that they didn't try to move him, or package him or something, but maybe coming off, you know, an injury where he's out the entire season, Maybe they just didn't think they would be able to get enough in return. I'm not sure. And maybe you guys know more about it than I do, but I just, in kind of like running it through my head, I couldn't really figure out why they didn't. There was, I think to have the 30 or the 40 man at like 35 or 36 guys, there's some cushion there. But I'm not sure.
I think you already raised all the questions that maybe are valid. Other than, you know, maybe they really do think that they're going to be able to re-sign him on a minor league deal. But I got to think somebody would take a chance on him, you know, somebody who has a need there.
Yeah, my guess is he lands somewhere else. I mean, he's already like 25. He's been in the minors for a while.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So I guess,
because as an international player, he came in at like 17, 18, something like that.
Right,
so, yeah. I think it's just like he's stock of the Cubs, obviously, so he's not going anywhere. So I think they're letting him free, kind of like we'll let you do what you want now, because we've held you I mean, he's been in Iowa since 2014, so he just is kind of stuck. He's really good defensively. His bats has been questioned at times, but he was pretty good last season in Iowa. But he's not a very like Theo Jed kind of player. He's a hitter and not a on base kind of guy. So I think maybe with that combined with there's no place for him and he's not really our kind of guy offensively, maybe they're just like, okay, go do your thing.
Right. Yeah. So those are the players that will probably not be back with the Cubs. The Cubs did tender contracts to Jake Arrieta, Pedro Strop, Hector Rondon, and Justin Grimm. Those are all four of those players are arbitration eligible, and we'll be paying attention to the developments with those contracts, especially Arrieta's. I think that would be the interesting one to pay attention to. So did you guys have any internet muscle flexes for this week?
I have a quick one.
I didn't have one this week.
Okay, I have a couple. Let me do a few, Kurt, and then I'll let you. Well, one thing that I just thought was really funny. So I went to Cubs Instagram, and I was looking through in like with the Cubs picking up Dunsing. It was like, you know, all these comments were like, oh, yeah, look what happened last time the Cubs got a pitcher from the Orioles. You know, like so many comments saying that, like referring to Arrieta. But the funny thing is the last pitcher that the Cubs got from the Orioles was Brian Mattis. So we know how that turned out. So I don't know. I kind of thought that was funny.
We watched it unfold in person.
So my other ones are, okay. Okay, so I have a couple more on the Dunsing signing. So the Cubs posted on Instagram. It says, Cubs and left-handed pitcher Brian Dunsing have agreed to terms on a one-year contract. Welcome. And then his Instagram handle. And the second person to comment says, I'm going to have to see some stats. It's like, why would you not just go look at stats instead of comment that? And then another one on there that kind of made me giggle was somebody says, WTF, my girlfriend has more followers than him.
Just stating facts. That's
right.
All.
Yep. Go ahead with yours, Kurt, and then I have one more.
Okay. Mine come from Cubs Instagram also on the picture of LeBron James wearing a Cubs uniform. And they're not great, but I thought they're kind of funny because with those kind of posts, you get fans of every sport, every city, everything. And so they kind of like have this weird mix of conversation going on. And the first person just in all caps says LMAO. And don't forget about your doo-doo Browns. And then has a poop and a football emoji. which I thought was great. And then I have one other one on that same one. And the person just says, Dexter Fowler got big.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
Which I assume they were joking. If they weren't, that's even funnier.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If they weren't joking, then it's funny. If they were joking, it's not funny. So you don't have any more?
That's it.
Okay, I have one more. This was from when, okay, so this is from the Cubs Instagram post announcing that they had signed John Jay, and this person says, damn, I know I'm about to sound like an idiot, but I kind of wanted them to sign Trout.
Well, you just throw him so much money that it voids his current contract.
But I do like the fact that he knew he was going to sound like an idiot. I mean, he said up front. But, yeah. All right. Well, that does it for this episode. It was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We have a few new Patreon supporters to thank in this episode. John from Dallas, Texas, he upgraded his pledge to the Ryan Sandberg level. So thanks for that, John. Matthew from Toledo, Ohio, and Hannah from Chicago. She also upped her pledge. So thanks to John, Matthew, and Hannah. If you enjoy what we do here on the podcast, you can help us keep things going and improving by going to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So we will be back next Sunday evening. And until then, go Cubs.
What's up, fellas? It's Danny Rocket. I just got done listening to your podcast in which you picked Dexter Fowler as having the most impact as a free agent on the Cubs this year, but I think you failed to mention how he had the most impact, and that's by breaking Kyle Schwarber's poor leg and tearing his knee to shreds. I just thought that was a bit of an oversight, because if Hayward had been in center field, there's no way he hits Schwarber. Schwarber comes out, hits 40 home runs, and, it's a whole different year. We win 116 games. So, I mean, not everything Dex did was good. He go, we go. Well, guess who went? Kyle Schwarber. Until the end. All right. Bye.